When you get your Bibles ready, we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 4. Glad you're here. As some holidays are, you never know who's going to be traveling, and we do have several of our number that are traveling, several families that are away taking advantage of the weekend. But we've also got people that are here that would not normally be if it weren't for that very same reason. So we're glad that you've come, and we invite you to be with us any time that you can. Thank you for looking us up. Thank you for finding us and coming and worshiping with us. And we'll be meeting Sunday night, this upcoming Wednesday night, being the first Wednesday of the month, will be dedicated to our song service. We'll be singing praises this Wednesday night at 7. Might be that if you're still in town, you can come and be a part of that with us as well. Let's have a word of prayer before we start our study. God and Father, we're so thankful to you that this is the Lord's Day. We're thankful, Father, on this day so many years ago, your Son came forward. We're thankful that he conquered death. Not only that he did, but he set in plan the wheels of motion that allows us to conquer death as well. And we thank you for that. And we're thankful that there's a part of us that's eternal just as you are. And we're thankful, Father, that you've made it possible for us to spend eternity with you. So please help us in our life that we can live in a way that we can do exactly that. We praise you, Father, for all the ways you've blessed us in so many ways. We're thankful for all those here who have recovered from surgery. We're thankful for Ricky and Lindy's good surgeries and for them being here, for Alton Bailey and his recovery. We ask you, Father, that you continue to be with others that are in need of our prayers as well. Melinda Weeks will undergo a procedure this week, and pray you be with her. We pray you be with Julian this Thursday as he has his heart test, that they'll have a plan in effect for him. Pray you continue to be with Charles Bowen going forward, and whether it be radiation or chemotherapy, whatever would be best for him, we pray, Father, what will happen. Many of our number are traveling. Pray, Father, you be with them and that they might make it back safely to us, and be with all those who are here, that they might make it back to their home as well. With all these physical things kind of taking weight in our mind, we do ask you, Father, at this time to help us to control our thoughts, help us to realize where we are and why we are here, and help us to worship you well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're familiar. We studied this morning in the early lesson that we are blessed people. We have been blessed physically to the point that I hope that we will be humbled by that blessing. God has so richly given us what we need. We have responsibilities to that, as you would all be aware of. In verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." We are now stewards. That's not a word we use very often, but I would imagine most people here are familiar enough with that word. It's the idea of a servant who has been placed in charge of somebody else's possessions. And that sounds like fun and games, right? Well, but we're responsible for those possessions. They're not given to us. We're just using them. And we have to use them for the master's benefit. And so we all Christians are stewards of the master. But you see, that's not good enough. The command in verse 2 is, it's required that stewards be found faithful. It's not just enough to say, okay, I'm a steward. The requirement is not to be a steward. That's a given. The requirement is to be a faithful steward. But I don't want us to think that those physical possessions are the only thing that we are responsible to God for. What I want us to look today is how we use our time. Specifically, I'm just putting in quotation marks the free part of that. The time is time. And yet we're all familiar with when we use the phrase free time as opposed to other type of time. Leisure time as opposed to another form of time. That's what I want to look at today. We're stewards of that as well. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And as you're turning there, this lesson is just hopefully designed to maybe, again, open our eyes to our blessings, to our opportunities, and then to remind us, however briefly it is, that we are responsible to God. But let's talk today about free time. We're responsible for that as well. But let's first emphasize the fact that we understand what it means. In the physical sense, it means I'm not at work, I'm not at school, I'm not having to get the grass cut, I'm not having to fix this leak on the roof. Free time. Well, there's not any pressing responsibility on us. Leisure time as opposed to work time. God makes note of that. God is aware of that. We've all heard the phrase, You know, I don't know who Jack is, but somebody a long, long time ago said, all work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy. I don't know who Jack is, but we've all experienced that idea. Sometimes you need a break. God knows that. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Pick up with me in verse 7. Go your way. Eat your bread with joy. Does that sound familiar? That was our first lesson. Don't forget the benefits God gave us and be joyful and thankful in that. Go your way. Eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with merry heart. Eat, drink, and be merry. Remember that phrase? We studied that earlier in that parable. There was a man. What am I going to do? I can't put all my stuff anymore. I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. God's not involved in any of this. It's all about what He wants, what benefits Him, what blesses Him. I'll build bigger barns. And then I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. I just want us to make sure we understand. Eating and drinking and being merry, that wasn't the man's problem. I hope we all eat today. I hope we all drink today. And I hope we give God praise for that and we thank Him for that. And be happy in these blessings that God has given us. The problem is not eating, drinking, and being merry. The problem is forgetting God as the giver of those things. Verse 7, go your way. Eat the bread with joy. Drink the wine with merry heart, for God has accepted your works. Let the garments be always white, and let the head lack no ointment. We have what we need. We're not lacking today. Verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your life, of thy vanity, which have been given to you under the sun, all the days of your vanity. This is thy portion in this life. God has blessed us with things. He's given eating, not exactly work time, right? Time with wife, husband, and your family, not exactly, I guess it can be work time, but it's not always. God is acknowledging there is a portion of life. All life under the sun, you know, going away. There's a vanity to it. There's an emptiness to it. It's all going to disappear. But while we're here, we're to enjoy that. We're to appreciate that. Leisure activities recognized as a necessary part of life. And it's not wrong to enjoy them. Sometimes physically, you just need a break. Everybody who's not 7 and below probably has felt that. Sometimes as you get older, it's not just the physical, it's the mental. You just gotta get, just so many things swimming in the head. You just want to get away and try to just relax a little bit and decompress, we might say. And so we have hobbies. And like this weekend, we have holidays. And we have those times when what we might call a vacation, if it's just a one-day quick trip. That's us acknowledging, let's just drop things for a little bit. Let's relax a little bit for a little while. Let's just take a seat for a little while. We've all experienced it. We know what free time is. Now here's the catch to it all. Satan is a genius at taking things that are not wrong in and of himself. And when he's done with us, we've taken something that's proper. And now all of a sudden it's not proper anymore. The sexual need. God gave us that. And he gave a wedding bed. And he gave a way to fulfill that. And Satan takes it and he twists it. A man is to provide for his family, and Satan takes that and he twists it. And all of a sudden, we have people who spend more time and more care worrying about that than they do even their own family. Family suffers because dad's never there because he's chasing the overtime, and Satan just, he knows how to work us. And he takes things that are okay, and all of a sudden things get changed and priorities get flipped, and if we let him, he can do the very same thing with this. So let's be careful that even with our free time, we're going to talk about the specifics of that being in quotation marks in a minute. Our leisure time, our down time, even that, we've got to be careful that we don't allow Satan to kind of influence us and to tempt us to misuse that in any form of way. So this is what we're going to look at in this study. Some applications about when we're off the clock, so to speak. When we're in that free time, downtime, leisure time, the hobbies, the games, the things we enjoy, the things that lets us either physically or mentally just kind of get away for a little bit. We're still, as a steward, responsible. And we still, as a steward, have to be faithful to that. So let's take some applications and let's look at some points about this. The first thing is, free time doesn't really mean free. A month or so, maybe 2 months or so ago, and every adult in this room knows our country's history. You know the history of slavery in this history, in our country. A month and a half, 2 months ago or so, whatever it was, Carl and I went to the Hermitage, which was Andrew Jackson's home. We went to his home, his plantation. And of course, Andrew Jackson was a slave owner. And so a part of the trip, a part of the tour and the guides and all that kind of stuff, they were telling you about how life was at the farm, how life was at the plantation. And they said that the slaves of Andrew Jackson were given Sundays off. Sundays they worked at their own home. They worked in their own gardens. On Sundays they did their own work. They didn't have to be where the master sent them. I'm assuming that's true. I'm going by what the guide said. I want you to put yourself there. Imagine you are a slave on that plantation or any other plantation. And then imagine maybe you do have one day off. You're free that day. Were you free? You think those slaves woke up on that one day and said, I am free? No. They might have had some time for themselves. I doubt for 1 second they imagined that equaled. They were no longer a slave. What if it rained? Just one of those deluges. One of those just rain, up just inches. And you can't go out in the work fields that day. You're off that day. You're free that day. Oh, really? Do you think there were any on that plantation that when the rain came and you didn't have to go out to the fields that considered themselves to be free? Of course not. We are servants of a king. And make sure we underline it in our mind. We are never free from that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Make some New Testament applications. 1 Corinthians 6. We are servants today. We are servants tomorrow. We are servants every breath we take. And we're never free of that. We're never out from under that. We are purchased. We are bought. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Look back in verse 19. Should have started there, actually. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. And then, you are bought. What do you mean I'm not my own? I was purchased. We as Christians, we were purchased. You want to see how valuable we are? Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. We weren't bought with silver. We weren't bought with gold. We weren't traded for a patch of land. Verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you were not bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your vain manner of life received by tradition by your fathers. But, so it wasn't with that, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. Every Christian in this room is a bought, redeemed, purchased being. And now we serve the one who bought us, the one who purchased us. And that umbrella never ceases to be true. There is no time off from being this servant. There is no time when we are not responsible as a servant, a steward. And even our leisure time is still God's. So to go back to the initial example that I gave you, whomever those slaves were by name, even when it's raining, they still had a master up in the big house. And I doubt they forgot it. And even when they had their one day off where they could work their own fields, I doubt they forgot that all it takes is one, for lack of a better word, they would have had phone calls, but one phone call, and they're back out in somebody else's. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. Golf, tennis, sewing, whatever. There's nothing wrong with hobbies. Just make sure we don't forget. And even while we're doing them, we're still on God's clock. We go in the morning, you punch in, and you put your 8 hours in, then you punch out, and I'm free. There's never a time when we are punched out of being a servant of the Lord. There's never a time we're not on duty of being a servant of the King. Free time is not really free. That's why that word is in quotations. It's a word we use, and it's a word we're familiar with, and we know how we use it. We know why we use it that way. Let's just make sure we don't let Satan kind of take it, do what he does with so many things, and then we change thinking about what that means. We're never not responsible as a servant. Free time is not really free. Free time doesn't really mean we can do whatever we want. I mean, when I was in elementary school, I mean, I guess most of my friends, if you'd asked me what my favorite class was, I would have said P.E. I liked to play, and I liked that time when you could go and run and whatever. And there were, but even then, you know, elementary school, there were things, there were some games that the teachers had us do. I didn't think was very fun. You know, they have to come up with a lot of, you know, you can't just do the same thing every day. You can't roll the ball out. Even PE teachers, you know, there are so many things that they have to kind of bring into it. And some of those things I didn't like. Some of those games just weren't fun to me. And what I liked was when they said, free day. You get to be with you. You can pick your friends to go over on that side of the playground and do exactly what you like. And play exactly what you want to play with exactly who you... That's what I liked. You know, free time didn't really mean free time. There were things we couldn't do. We couldn't cross the road. We couldn't leave the playground. You couldn't go across over into Mrs. Smith's whatever. Even when it was so-called free, there were still things you couldn't do. Free time doesn't really mean we can do whatever we want. There is never a time we're free to do whatever we wish. There is no... Our free time, our leisure time, the point is, we can't do anything that would bring shame to the master. Oh, but I'm not on the clock anymore. No, point one, we're always on the clock. Oh, but this is my free time. Doesn't matter. We're never in a position. There is never a time under the sun where we can do something that would bring dishonor or displeasing to the King. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. We're studying Ephesians. We would have looked at this chapter not very, very long ago. We were redeemed, right? We were bought. We were purchased. So there is one who has authority over us. We do what pleases Him. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Actually, back up into verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's be thankful for that. Now, verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love. Freddie mentioned that in his prayer that he led us in just a very short while ago. That we be holy and without blemish. We can't do something that's unholy and then say, oh, but I was in the assembly. Oh, I wasn't in public. I wasn't even around anybody else. It doesn't matter. Is it holy or unholy? Because if it's unholy, there is no such time when we are free to engage in that. Verse 4. Is it blemish or is it not? It doesn't matter how many people saw it. It doesn't matter how many people were in it. It's either spotted or it's not. It's a blemish or it's not. And there is no time when we are ever off the clock where things that blemish us are okay. Free time doesn't really mean free time. And free time doesn't mean that we are now able to do anything we choose and want. No, God has outlined those. Turn the page. Chapter 2. Chapter 1, we've been set apart. That's what that sanctified was. And now we are set apart, sanctified to be holy and without blemish. That is constant. There's never a time that's not the requirement. But what about these things that we do, this time that we spend, all this time that we have? Look in verse 10. We are His workmanship. We're not self-made. We're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained. God has prepared that we walk in them. God has told us what is acceptable. God has told us what is good. God has told us what is pleasing. God has told us what He desires. In a word, verse 10, He's told us what He calls good. Now, when can we do something that He would call bad? At what time are we free to do that? At what point in the day or in the night are we able to do with permission what He hasn't sanctioned, what He hasn't allowed, if He's called it blemished or unholy or improper? We know what free time is. We say it a lot. These are just very basic, generic points to remind us it might not be as free as what we might think. Free time is not really free time. We're always on the master's clock. Free time doesn't mean we can go do whatever we want under the sun. There are some things under the sun that has not been ordained for God's people, for purchased people, for redeemed and set apart, holy, unblemished people. Even our free time, we got to be careful. Satan does a lot with it. Let me give you another one. Free time doesn't really mean we can behave however we want. I know that sounds very similar. But even if we are doing proper things, point number two is hopefully about what we do. We can't do whatever we want. We just can't go engage ourselves in whatever we want. And so we're going to follow that, right? We're going to be true to that. We're going to be a good steward to that. I won't do anything that's not proper. Okay. Can we do things that are right in and of themselves and then turn that into something that's improper? We can't behave however that we want. Even when we have selected good activities, remember that we're still a Christian and that we must act like that at all times. This, I've been kind of good timing, I guess, holiday weekend. And for whatever reason, maybe because it's one of the first ones of spring, this is the one when the beach trips happen. This is the one when the pools open up. And, okay, so this is my free time. This is holiday time. I can be immodest in my dress. I can go out and be half-dressed and become a stumbling block and cause people to do things and lust. Is that okay? Because it's free time, right? Behave however we want. There are still responsibilities even in free time. Games. And most of the people here at some point have probably played a sport. Many have put their children into sport. And a lot of times people doing proper things, but improperly. Being engaged in a sport or an athletic event does not mean that, oh, this is my free time. I can talk however I want when I'm around the buddies. You know, sometimes emotions get away from you in games. It's okay to let a couple words slip every now and then. It's free time. It's leisure time. Turn to Ephesians 5. We act in a way that's becoming of the bride of Christ always. There is no time when we're dismissed from those responsibilities. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. God has sent his son as the example of how to be that one. But why did he do that? He gave himself for it. Why? Verse 26, that he might sanctify it, that he might cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Have we heard that phrase? It's the same thing he said back in chapter 1. Those blessings we have in the spiritual realms, in the heavenly places where we sit with Christ, those are understood that it's to those that are holy and unblemished. And here it is, verse 25. It's a glorious church. It's a glorious kingdom. It's a glorified, set-apart people. But that's under the consideration of verse 27, that if they are holy and unblemished people. And the interesting thing is, he didn't say to try to be that. You know, here's the bluntness of it. We could have tried to be spotless, whether Jesus died or not. The question in verse 25 is, why did he give himself? It's not so we could try to be spotless. It's not so we could try to be blameless. We could have tried it and him still lived. Verse 27, it's that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, not having wrinkle, or any such thing. The church is glorious. And the church is unspotless. And it's because of what Jesus did. He made that possible. And so when are we ever able, on what clock, are we ever free to do things that would blemish us, spot us, unglorify us? And the answer is never. That's the point. We can't get so caught up in the activities that we forget who we are. We can't let leisure activities, which are a diversion from life, which we need, but we can't let them then become a diversion from God. And there's a lot of... there's a woman telling me one time about a marriage that failed. And he'd rather been in the woods hunting. He'd rather be in a boat fishing. He'd rather be on a golf course hitting the white ball. He'd rather be at the coffee house talking with his buddies. Rather be at work. And the point was, he'd rather be pretty much anywhere than besides me. Well, there's nothing wrong with golfing, boating, fishing. What else did I say? Having coffee with buddies. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. Unless all of a sudden it's not the leisure anymore. And so here's Satan taking things that are okay, but then we behave improperly. And the impact is our relationship with God now impacted and hindered even because of this. If our priorities are right and if we realize that free time isn't really free, might not ever be a better golfer, but we'll be a better Christian. Might not ever be a better sower or cooker or baker or fisher, but we'll be better saints. Might not be a better whatever, yard guy. We'll be a better servant. Even the free time we're responsible for. We're still stewards of that. I'm going to give you one more point. Free time doesn't take precedence over more important duties. It can't become the priority. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Memory verse. Not just a memory verse, a song that we sing. We could break out into song without ever opening up the books. The free time can't take precedence over more important things, more important duties, more important responsibilities. The hobbies can't become before the family. The games can't become before the assemblies. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All these, there's a lot of all these things that we could go into. The emphasis is on Christ before them all. There are people that me and you would know, we'll probably call them by name. They live for the free time. They will bite the bullet and they'll put the 40 hours in. They'll go to a job that they hate. As the old saying goes, I think there was a song about that too. Working for the weekend. I deal with Monday through Friday so I can get to the free time, the leisure time, the my time, and we all need that. Let's just make sure we never swallow the pill that Satan is wanting us to swallow, that free time is really about me, that I'm no longer responsible to God. I can do what I want, when I want, however I want, whoever is hurt by it, whoever is influenced by it. No, we cannot. We're always a steward. We're always the servant. And just to be blunt, in the spiritual sense, we are always the slave with a master. We would never forgotten if we were a physical slave. Been a lot of reminders of it. Spiritually speaking, maybe we do forget. And hopefully this will be that reminder. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let's talk about a king real quickly. Wise king. Wisest king that Israel ever had. Solomon given some pretty simple advice about how to use our time. What to never forget in the use of our time. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Look in verse 8. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 8. If a man live many years, maybe the clock just keeps on going. There are people here who've been blessed with a long life. And for the majority of that, long health. Be thankful. Tell God thank you. If a man live many years, rejoice in them all. We talked about that this morning. Rejoice in the benefits that God has given us. If a man live long, he has a long clock. The clock just keeps on ticking. Rejoice in them. Yet. Okay, so rejoice. Be thankful. Life is a gift and appreciate it all. Be thankful for that. Yet. Let him remember the days of darkness. For there will be many. All that comes is vanity. You enjoy your free time, he says. You enjoy your time on the clock. But don't do it thoughtlessly. And don't do it without any recognition that there are responsibilities that come with it. And we can apply New Testament principles to this. Enjoy the time. Be thankful for the time. But use it well as a steward, knowing that we're going to be accountable for them. Get your songbooks out. I hope it's been some benefit. I know this is kind of not exactly a typical lesson that you might hear. However it applies, then let it apply. However we might need to make changes, then let's make changes. But let's just remember, we are servants if we're Christians. We are stewards. We are to be faithful stewards. And that includes holiness, unblemished, spotlessness. Christ's blood makes that possible. So let's be thankful for that blood. If you're not a Christian here, we have visitors here. If you believe Jesus is God's Son, then confess that. Repent of your sins. Be baptized and wash those sins away. That's where you will come into contact with that cleansing blood that will make you spotless and blameless and pure and holy and glorious.
You'll be added to the bride Jesus died for. And then get on, and then you're on his time. You become that servant. Let that be today. For those of us that are Christians, but maybe we hadn't been a faithful steward, which means we hadn't been a faithful servant, which means we haven't. It's called repenting. It's one of the foundations and pillars of the gospel. And we have time today to do it. So take advantage of it while we stand and sing.